This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we begin worship, please turn off all electronic devices and reflect on God's presence while hearing Lonnie's prelude. That was beautiful. Thank you, Lonnie and Bob, for your time and talents and sharing them with all of us. Welcome to First Christian Church. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Please sign the friendship sheet, share it with your pew mates, and pass it back to the center aisle. If you're visiting here or here for the first time, please indicate a phone number or an address so we might be in contact with you at a later time. The announcements are printed My sheet is yellow. Just to highlight a few of them, I would call your attention to two adult Bible studies. Pastor Cynthia leads a group on Sunday mornings at 9 on the book of Titus. It's in the boardroom. And Kevin Anderson is doing an in-depth research on a variety of topics. Our next gathering will be tomorrow, Monday the 11th, at 2 o'clock. All are welcome to either or both of these activities. Vacation Bible School and Worship on the Mountain are the last weekend in July. Registration is needed for Vacation Bible School. There are names and phone numbers of persons to contact for more information. And I believe Mike Ward has an announcement.
Thank you. Actually, I have two announcements. I got a call this morning from Erica and said to let the church know that there would not be worship and wonder today, as she is taking Dylan down to Camp La Forêt to go to CYF camp. If someone else in the congregation would like to do that today, you know how VeggieTales works, and if you would do that, she would be much appreciated. It would be much appreciated. And thank you. I'll let her know. Anyhow, the other announcement is Boy Scouts still have popcorn. They have so much popcorn, we don't know what to do with it. We're as of Thursday, the troop committee decided we are giving away popcorn for free. If you want some popcorn, there it's downstairs in the fellowship hall. You can have it by the case, the box, the can, however you would like. We need to get rid of it. That that is left, we are going to make a deal with Joshua's Storehouse or Food for Thought, take some down to the Colorado Christian Home, but by the end of this month, it will all be gone somewhere. So if you would like some good buttered popcorn or regular popcorn, come downstairs and help yourself, you know. Take 2, 3, 5, whatever. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. That sounds good, especially for somebody like me that loves popcorn. Let's stand and greet one another and then join in singing the opening hymn, Morning Has Broken, which is on page 53 of our hymnal.
Thank you.
please join with me in the call to worship? Do not lose your heart, for here is God's sheltering love.
If your heart is troubled, God will share your gladness.
If your heart is triumphant, God will share your gladness. May we share their agony and gladness as we travel this life.
As we trek arm in arm to the mountaintop of God's love.
Let us pray. God our Father, we gather this beautiful day longing to hear your voice. We know you are in the midst of us. May you melt us, mold us, and use us so we may be reformed in such a way that our lives will never be the same. Infuse a sense of wanting more. Fill this room with your presence as we offer you our praise, praying the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
May be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is Open My Eyes That I May See. You'll find it on page 586. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Hi, Reese. Good morning, Caleb. Hi, Willow. I'm so glad you all are here today. I have a little bit of show and tell. I brought something with me for you all to look at. It's a pair of little tiny binoculars. And if you put them up to your eyes and you focus, I can see people in the back pew. Hi. You can look through the binoculars and see who you see. They might be a little bit blurry. Do you want to look, Willow?
Yeah.
Binoculars help you see things that are really far away. When you're outdoors, they're helpful to see the mountains or animals that are far away. Yesterday, Charles and I went to Lander. Oh, look, there's people waving. And we saw some wild horses, and it was helpful to have our binoculars so we could focus on what's far. Sometimes if we don't, whoops, they ran away. If we don't have help seeing, we can only see kind of what's in front of us. We can't see very far away. One of the wonderful things about God is that God can see things that are far away. It looks like you have a question. Yes, ma'am.
I have a big pair of binoculars.
You have a big pair of binoculars. That's cool. This is a little tiny pair. We like them because they fit in the glove box of our car. And then if we're driving around Wyoming and we didn't know we'd need binoculars, we still have them with us. How big are your big binoculars?
This big.
That's pretty big. Caleb, do you guys have binoculars at your house?
Well, we got them one time, but we seem to have lost
them. You seem to have misplaced them. You have some, but you're not sure where they are. That happens at our house a lot. And I think that Reese's mom and dad probably have binoculars, too. Yeah, they like to go camping a lot. They're helpful to have when you're outdoors. You know, binoculars help us see things that are far away. And God can see things that are far away. God can see far into the future and see things that we can't even imagine yet. And God can see even far into our lives. God can see what's in our hearts. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Would you all pray with me this morning? Let's hold hands. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for seeing so far and assuring us that the future is in your hands. Thank you for looking within us and seeing the goodness that you have placed there. In your love, all God's children said, amen. And you can follow Reese's mommy and go watch VeggieTales today if you want. Thank you, Michelle, for filling in for our children today. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. And as we lift these up, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Our card shower today is for the family of Roger Miller. When the bulletin was being prepared, we had had a call from his daughter, Chris, in Montana, to tell us that he was under hospice care. I called her back, and in that time, he had passed away. So our prayers of comfort are with the family and friends of Roger. If you'd like to address a prayer card to the family of Roger Miller, we'll make sure that they receive it. There will be a service at the church he's been attending in Montana, and then on July 16th, there will be a graveside service here in Casper. Prayers this morning for Chuck and Susie Stewart. They are so thankful for your continued prayers for health for both of them. They are at Wyoming Medical Center this morning for Chuck to have some blood drawn. He's having a return of severe headaches, and he has a doctor's appointment tomorrow. So prayers for them. We continue to pray for those living with cancer. Mary Lee Stinson will have a chemo treatment on Tuesday. Cal Decker's numbers are good, and we are rejoicing with that good news. Dave Baker continues treatment in Washington State, and we pray for all of them and for others. Dr. Badger is having knee pain, prayers for him, and we continue to pray for Paul Smith's wife, Melanie Elaine Mary Cecilia White, as she is at Poplar Living Center. Our youth are at La Ferrée for summer camp. Prayers of safe travel for all those who are driving campers to and from the Black Forest outside of Colorado Springs, and prayers of God's blessing for a wonderful week for them. The missionaries we're lifting in prayer today are Don and Mary Jane Westra, who serve in Honduras. And we continue to pray for those affected by severe actions in nature, residents of Hawaii with volcanic activity there, those affected by storms and wildfires. In southern Colorado and northern New Mexico, there are fires burning. Even though it is early in the summer, Philmont Scout Ranch had to be evacuated because of fire, and the Mescalero Apache Reservation in southern New Mexico has 3,000 acres that are burning uncontrolled. Prayers for firefighters, for safety for them. Are there other concerns today that we want to name this morning? Belle. Prayers for Don Stapleton as he has a neck procedure on Tuesday. Mike.
The last 2 days, Dylan and his mother spent most of their time in the ER. Dylan was lightheaded and fell, and he's got severe headaches and sore back and hard to know.
Prayers for Dylan Stupak, who's having significant health issues. Prayers that the tests will reveal what's going on and the doctors can have treatment. Please keep us posted. Paul.
Two of the young men that members of our church, the Johnson boys, are in the finals of the National College Rodeo this week here in Casper. One representing Gillette College, one representing Casper College. We want to wish them the very best through our prayers.
Prayers for the two Johnson boys as they compete in the College National Final Rodeo. Yes, Lonnie.
This is a proud mama moment. My daughter Kim, with whom I traveled to Africa last year, applied for the position of the director of the nursing department at University of Jamestown, where she lives, and she received that job, and she will be also getting her doctorate starting in September from the University of Mary. So she will have her hands full, but I know that she's able to do it, but she'll need a lot of prayers and strength and help along the way.
What a joy for her accomplishments and prayers of strength and courage for Kim as she takes on a new position and completes her doctorate. Phil and Becky Ostrander are one step closer to being united with their little boy from China. They have made progress, been approved on one more layer of paperwork. We know that there is more to come, and we continue to pray for you on that journey and share your excitement. Wanda. Prayers of joy for a new grandbaby girl being added to Wanda's family, and continued prayers for healing as she recovers from neck surgery 3 weeks ago. We are glad you are doing so well. We are glad that Lily is reunited with her family and thankful for the Bakers caring for her. She is the second dog in the recent life of our congregation to run away from home
and be reunited, and thanks in part to Facebook and the care of strangers caring for animals. So thank you for that cheering story. Let us bring all of these joys and our concerns in prayer to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O good and gracious God, your vision is always clear. We thank you, Lord, for seeing those areas of our lives that most need healing. We pray this day for all those who grieve, especially for the family and friends of Roger Miller. We thank you, Lord, for the long, full life that he lived, for his faithful work and his care given over the years to his wife Cecilia before you called her home to rest. Oh Lord, we rejoice now with Roger that he is again beside his beloved and in your sight. Lord, we pray for those who need physical healing. We pray for friends and strangers alike who are living with cancer. We rejoice with Cal that his numbers are good. We pray for Dave Baker and Mary Lee Stinson as they receive treatments. Oh God, we ask for your healing to be with Don Stapleton as he has a procedure on his neck on Tuesday. And we thank you that Wanda Gokenauer is recovering so well from her neck surgery. We rejoice at the news of a granddaughter soon to be added to her family. And we rejoice as well at the reunion between the beloved dog Lily and her family. And thank you for care given by Dennis and Judy in the interim. We pray, O Lord, for the care given at the Wyoming Medical Center to patients and their families. We pray specifically today for Chuck Stewart as he is there. Watch over him and bring healing. Oh God, we pray for Dylan Stupak, who was lightheaded and fell and then had difficulty walking. We thank you, God, for answers from some tests, and we pray for more tests yet to resolve this situation. Oh God, we pray for wisdom for his doctors that they might know what is going on and that Dylan's health will be fully restored. Lord, we pray for Phil and Becky on their journey towards becoming parents. We thank you for all families who long to adopt children and have them become part of heart and home. We pray for one more step completed in China in the long process that the Ostranders are going through. We pray for patience and persistence in the journey ahead. Oh God, we thank you for the patience and persistence that has led Kim to a new position and also to pursue her doctorate. We pray for blessing upon these new adventures in her life. And we thank you for the skill and the talent, the teaching that she shares with so many in her work. Lord, we pray for safety for all those who are competing at CNFR. And we thank you for the talent you have given to the Johnson boys in the joy they take in rodeoing. God, we ask for your blessing to be with campers at La Foray, with staff who will care for them. We pray for Don and Mary Jane Westra and the work they do in Honduras, and for the members of Evergreen Christian Church in Colorado. Lord, for all those we have named today, by name and by circumstance, we pray your blessing upon each one who needs healing and hope and reminders, Lord, of your presence in our world. May our prayers and our lives always give testimony to you. Amen.
I grew up on a dry land farm in southeast Nebraska in a 3- and sometimes 4-generation home. My parents and grandparents had a fruit orchard, a large garden, and many varieties of farm animals. There was always plenty of food, even during times of drought or bad weather conditions. I was never hungry. Many times, unexpected guests arrived just as we were preparing a meal. My mother or grandmother would put together a feast that would help people to know that they were welcome at our table. We're welcome at the Lord's table. Our meal is a simple piece of bread and a cup of juice, but it nourishes our body and spirit as much as any meal we could have. All who seek God's love in Christ are invited to share in the Lord's Supper. You are invited to come forward by the center aisle for communion by intinction. You may also bring your tithes and offerings, prayer cards, to place in the trays at the front of the pews. If you are unable or wish to remain in your pew, one of the deacons will serve you in your pew. Let us prepare for communion by singing, "We Place Upon Your Table, Lord," found on page 417 in our hymnal.
As we come to this table, we are reminded by God's grace that this is a place of welcome, a place where all are invited to share the Lord's Supper, as we remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
O loving and forgiving God, we bring into your presence our hopes, dreams, problems, anxieties, joys, and sorrows. Because you are our God, we give thanks for the bread that is broken and given to each one of us during this memorable act of communion in the name of Jesus. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit as we serve during this coming week. Amen.
Please pray with me. God, our Father, bless these gifts we bring. Multiply them to do your work in our community, our country, and our world. Multiply them to do your work upon the earth. Bless these gifts and these givers. In Jesus' name, amen. The Old Testament scripture is found on page 577. It is Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Our New Testament reading today comes from 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. You'll find it in your Pew Bible New Testament section on page 181. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 13 and going through chapter 5, verse 1. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lonnie, for playing for us today, and thank you for that gift of music that you and Bob shared as the prelude. It was beautiful. Would you pray with me? O Lord, we, your people who dwell in earthly tents, long to know your eternal glory from within. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yesterday, Charles and I drove over to Lander to the Wild Horse Eco Sanctuary. There is a ranch on the Wind River Reservation that is in partnership with BLM. There's a herd of about 200 wild horses, And you can make arrangements to go and have a tour and get to see the wild horses. Yesterday was the free day, something that preachers are always looking for, is something a little free. So I drug my husband the 2+ hour drive over to visit the wild horses. As we were driving across the reservation on back roads between Riverton and Lander, we noticed that several families had set up teepees. Now, I don't know enough about Arapaho and Shoshone culture to know if this is the time of year when they're getting ready for spiritual rituals, or perhaps if folks were just setting up an extra guest room for summer company. But seeing all the teepees reminded me of my childhood camping adventures. I think I've shared with you all before that at one point, Mom and Dad were quite adventuresome. They had an old canvas tent, about 5 foot by 5 foot square, with those metal poles on the outside. It was a pain to put up. But we would load the station wagon, drive into the Sacramento Mountains in southern New Mexico, and somehow Dad managed to get that tent up even though we were helping him. Mom and Dad and 4 little kids and a cat and a dog camped together. That was summer fun. Perhaps you have camping experiences of your own, time spent in tents that bring back happy memories. I can remember one time when we were camping, and I was fairly young. I woke up in the middle of the night and was a little uncertain where I was. I'd kind of forgotten. I wasn't sleeping in my own bed at home. Everyone else is sound asleep except for Dad. He looks over at me and grins and kind of winks a little. And he pulls out a flashlight, and very discreetly, not to wake anyone else, at the side of the tent, he begins making little shadow figures with his flashlight and his fingers. At first, it's just a little bunny rabbit hopping. And then somehow his engineering mind took over. He propped up the flashlight. And in my childhood imagination, I swear, there were dragons and castles and an entire story told in total silence. That experience came back to me years later when I was camping with a bunch of Girl Scouts one summer. It was the middle of the night, and I had gotten up, as adults sometimes need to do in the middle of the night, to take care of those things you do in the middle of the night when your body tells you to get up. I crawled out of my sleeping bag and was standing next to a lake high in the mountains, looking at the stars. I glanced back to where our troop had their tents pitched. And in a modern, easy-to-assemble nylon tent, I saw 2 girls awake, giggling. One had a flashlight, and the other was making bunny ears on the side of the tent. Now, I think my old family tent, that canvas was so thick that the glow of the light probably wouldn't broadcast through it. Tent stories are relevant when we hear from Paul. You see, in addition to being an apostle, a faithful Jew who converted to follow Jesus after that blinding light on the road to Damascus experience, and he was changed from Saul to Paul. In addition to being an apostle, Paul was a tent maker. A tent maker by trade. Perhaps, in fact, some speculate, a bivocational pastor who on occasion, as he traveled, would sew up a tent or two to earn some money to pay for travels as he preached the gospel of Christ. Last week from 2 Corinthians 4, we heard Paul's illustration of treasure in clay jars, the precious treasure of God's eternal light and love made to dwell within earthen vessels, the human form. This morning, Paul is continuing that same emphasis of the eternal within the earthly. And now the imagery shifts from clay jars, which perhaps he borrowed from the prophet Jeremiah in the 18th chapter. The imagery shifts from clay jars to tents, a subject Paul knew well. I wonder if he were to describe his own earthly tent, the physical form in which he lived, if he might say that it wore out over time. The tent poles got a little bit bent. The color of the canvas began to fade, and there was one tent flap that flopped around a lot in the wind because a couple pegs were missing. You see, Paul went through some suffering and some struggle. He was beaten more than once. He was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel more than once. It's interesting to me that the Bible really doesn't tell us too much very often about what people looked like. You see, that's not the important thing that we learn about them. But there was an ancient historian who knew contemporaries of Paul, who, in writing that's not included in Scripture, described him as being somewhat short, stocky, very physically strong, but with a large nose and bushy eyebrows that grew together. Until I stumbled across that reading this week, I had never even tried to picture what Paul looked like. And all of a sudden, I've got this image of my brother's face with a big nose and bushy eyebrows that almost joined in the middle, except David's way too tall to be Paul if he was short and stocky. Maybe his physical tent, his earthly dwelling, his human form wasn't that handsome. But he must have had angel eyes when he looked at the world. For the insights that Paul gives us into the nature of God are astounding. We have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, he writes. Quoting from the Psalms, "I believed and so I spoke." We also believe and so we speak. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Paul is speaking of eternity even in the midst of earthly living. He is proclaiming the promise of what it means to have Jesus in your life, that you get to live forever. Not with a worn-out earthly tent, but in a transformed way, in heaven, in the very presence of God. Everything, Paul says, is for your sake, as he's writing to the church in Corinth, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Paul is preaching about Jesus to the church in Corinth so that the church in Corinth can proclaim Jesus to others. He begins with an image of clay jars, an apt metaphor for the human body, and then he starts talking about tents. This earthly tent in which we dwell that will pass away, but we are promised an eternal house of God, not made with human hands, but in the heavens. It's interesting to think about tent making from the perspective of a tent maker like Paul. The simplest tent could be a stick and a blanket. Maybe your kids or your grandkids have made a tent like that in your living room, a throw from the back of the couch draped over a chair, a safe place to hide. In its more elaborate form, the church is a tent, a shelter for those who know the storms of life, who come into the doors seeking the presence of God. Most tents take more than one person to raise. I know that there are easy-to-assemble modern backpacking tents that you snap the poles and they basically go up themselves. It's fabulous. But if you've ever tried to put up an old-fashioned tent, like the canvas one that held two parents, four kids, a dog, and a cat, you know that it's not a one-person job. It takes a while to wrangle the poles and get them in the right loops and stretch the canvas and put the pegs in and have the guide wires in place so that when the wind and the rain blows, the tent will be sturdy and secure. The teepees that our Native American neighbors erect now in their yards and once upon a time erected across the plains of America as they traveled take more than one person to assemble. Multiple poles, long and straight, pruned from trees with branches and bark stripped, formed in a circle with hide stretched around them, to leave an opening at the top. So in inclement or cold weather, when a small cooking fire is built inside the teepee, the smoke rises up. It's a communal process to erect the teepees on the plain to build the tents. It's a communal process when our Boy Scout troop goes camping and they put up not just one tent, but multiple tents for sleeping, a cooking tent, sometimes even a craft or work tent. It takes a little while to build camp. It's something spiritually that the church does together. Tent building is a communal process. Each one of us in the church has a role to play to erect what becomes a home for the glory of God. Not the physical walls of a church building, but a cohesive unit where God's Spirit is glimpsed in our midst. When the fire of the light of Jesus burns in one human's heart and ignites another heart nearby, where the passion of God's glory is spread from Christian to Christian, believer to believer, person to person, the glow of God's light is seen as clearly as the glowing fires inside of teepees or flashlights illuminating children's fingers. The church is a community. Yesterday, I found myself discovering a new image for church that I had not experienced before. I've been around horses a fair amount throughout my life. I enjoy riding them. In high school, I had a summer job mucking a stall and grooming a horse for a teacher who was out of town for months on end. But I had never before yesterday really been close to watch wild horses. At a distance, just seeing the horse, you don't necessarily know if it's wild or domestic just because it's standing in a field. But the herd, the Lander herd, is about 150, 200 horses, all geldings so that they won't breed. They move together as one unit. As we spoke with the young woman, Odessa, who helps her father on the ranch, she talked about the movement of the horses and how different it is to watch domestic animals that move as individuals and this wild herd. As we sat in the front of a cab of a pickup in the middle of a huge meadow in Wyoming, the horses at first were off in the distance grazing, and then they saw us and became curious and turned almost as one to slowly walk in our direction. And then someone in the herd decided to run, and suddenly they were all thundering, powerful hooves right next to the pickup, swooping around, circling in the meadow. It reminded me of a flock of swallows that moves, not as one individual bird, but as a unit, together on the wings of the wind. Suddenly, I realized that might be an image for the church. When we are united together in Christ, it is God's Spirit that calls us to move in the direction of justice, in the direction of hope. To leave behind our individual concerns trying to find the greenest patch of grass in one spot, but to move together as the Spirit directs. Forgive me, I digress. Wild horses aren't in Paul's scripture, but the imagery of tent building sure is. We do not lose heart, he says. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. What renews your inner nature? What renews your spirit? Is it time studying God's word and reading scripture? Is it time in silent prayer? Is it time in conversation with other believers? What renews your spirit and draws you closer to God? Is it the gift of music, either listening or singing or playing? Is it time in nature? We are being renewed day by day, Paul says, as a reminder to each of us that on our hectic, busy lives in a modern society, we need to take time daily to dwell in relationship with the Spirit so that when the wind calls us to move, we're ready to move. This slight momentary affliction, Paul says, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. The glory of God in eternity is like the sun that generates its own gravitational pull so that Christians rotate around it. We find ourselves being drawn closer to God because of the gravity of God's grace, the pull that it has on our lives. We look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. What can be seen? A short man with bushy eyebrows and a big nose. What can be seen? A church building, be it humble as a tent or grand as a cathedral. What can be seen in the scheme of things is temporary and sooner or later will fall to the earth. But what cannot be seen with human eyes? What can only be seen with the heart and with the vision of faith? What cannot be seen is eternal. The glory and the presence of God, which is at the center of our lives. This week, my friends, may the fire in the heart of your teepee burn bright. May the glory of God within your cracked clay pot vessel be strong and sure. May the Spirit lead you to shift with other Christians from your own individual path to a path of justice and truth, of freedom and hope, of peace and love. May the glory of God that cannot be seen by the world be seen by you and cherished and nurtured and shared. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is Amazing Grace. If you don't know all the verses by heart, you'll find it on page 546 in the hymnal. If there's anyone this morning who is looking for a church home, we would welcome you to join us here at First Christian by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. Perhaps there's someone in our midst who has never fully given your heart to Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life to God. If that is your story, we invite you to come forward and share it with us as we stand and sing Amazing Grace. Thank you. I've been asked to pass along that there was one typo in the bulletin on the insert for Vacation Bible School. Joan McNamara missed her own phone number. So Joan, if you'd wave your hand so everybody knows. If you have questions about VBS, talk with this wonderful woman. She is a delight to work with, and she's planned all kinds of wonderful things for our children this summer. We'll make sure you get her right phone number next week. There is coffee and refreshments waiting for us downstairs in Fellowship Hall. Everyone is invited. We have several visitors with us in worship this morning. We hope that you'll have a chance to greet someone maybe you don't know yet and get acquainted. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God, your grace amazes us still. Your glory pulls us in. Help us who are called to be spiritual tent makers, to worry less about our own bushy eyebrows and more about your spirit. O Lord, give us your peace and your love as we go forth to live and to serve as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.